I'm Brian.
Hi, Brian. I'm Griff. How are you?
I'm great, Griff. How are you?
I'm just ducky. And you know what this is?
What is this?
This is the eBay for Business podcast, my friend. Your source for the information and the inspiration, and we hope a few chuckles to help you start, manage, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. This is episode 261.
Wow, 261. That's great.
Yes, episode 261, Brian. Every week we add one to the number. That's how it works.
Add one. Yes, increment up.
I don't think I've missed an episode in a long time.
Yeah, because I think a couple of years ago, I remember July 4th weekend, you had taken off, but you didn't do that this year.
Nope. I'm just not going to take any time off.
But sometimes it's good to take like a week off.
Oh, no, it isn't.
Recharge.
Not in my
hang case. Out by the pool.
It's out there. I know it's there. I'm hanging out next to the pool, but inside my house. How's that?
Okay, that works.
Yeah, the big news this week or last week is there's an invasive species of scorpion that have moved into our street. In fact, the local news, there was a team out in front of our house and they were talking about this. We now have these little scorpions that don't belong here. They apparently don't do much. They eat bugs and their stings feel like a bee sting.
That's not too bad.
Nah, I don't think so. I think they're fascinating, but most people hate them. You know, they don't want anything to do with bugs.
Well, who's our guest this week?
Our guest this week, he's eBay seller Dexter Bowling. Dexter's here this week to tell us how to get the most out of eBay Open.
And I trust we have a few questions to answer as well.
We do. This week we have three, in fact, and one is about duplicate listings, something we've not talked about in the past. One is from a seller who, as a buyer, had their purchase canceled by their seller. And the last one is from a buyer whose seller canceled their purchase, claiming the buyer requested the cancellation when they did not. But first, the news, Brian.
And the news is all about one thing, of course.
Yeah, let me guess.
eBay Open is here.
Ta-da!
I'm excited. I think it's going to be an excellent event this week. There's a whole bunch of really good content that's going to be shared and recorded. And I think the goal is to try and get it out within 24 hours. So content, 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 and it's all going to be helpful for our sellers, as well as some great input from other sellers who are also part of Open this year.
And you should probably catch it for one big reason. You know what that is?
No, what is that?
Maybe, given what's going on in the world of tech, this is the last year that actual humans present the content. Next year, it could be all AI. Who knows?
Yeah, you just like type in your eBay interested question and some bot shows up and gives you whatever info you need.
Yeah, it's a personalized eBay Open just for you by artificial intelligence.
So whether you're in person at the kickoff parties, whether you're in person at the kickoff parties that are hosted by 10 other sellers throughout the country, or whether you're online for the virtual parts of eBay Open, there are opportunities to connect with other sellers who are selling similar stuff to you or have similar issues to the issues that you have, or that just seem to be good people that you want to connect with.
There you go. And I'm going to be at one of those seller events.
Oh, that's right.
I'll be at the Orlando one virtually in the afternoon of, I think it's Tuesday. Catch me there.
And if you're interested in that Orlando one, just go to the eBay community site or the any of the other 10 events offered. Just go to community.ebay.com and click on the events tab and then click on seller meetings and you'll find them.
There you go. Well, so that's all the news we have. Enjoy eBay Open. This week's show, I think, is a little short only so that you can listen and then get back to eBay Open. We don't want to take up the time. Let's go meet Dexter Bowling and then I'll see you for questions.
Sounds good.
Here we are, it's eBay Open Week, and I thought we'd spend a little time talking about how you can get the most out of the event, especially if you've never really attended a virtual or even one of the previous live and in-person eBay events. They're usually scheduled pretty well, the different sessions and the panels, but it still can be a little challenging navigating, saying, hey, which ones do I want to catch? Which ones fit my business needs? Which ones can I kind of pass over? Knowing that everything is recorded, so you can always view it later. Well, I don't think I'm actually the one to talk to this with any expertise, but we have with us somebody who does. Join me in welcoming the owner of a business on eBay called ShoeBiz. It's Dexter Bowling. Hi, Dexter.
Hello, Griff.
Last year, you attended eBay Open for the first time. What do you remember about the event?
Man, last year seemed so long ago. What I remember the most is honestly not fully being prepared last year for the many different sessions and the talks that were going on. I think I wrote down 2 times for 2 talks and saved them, but really I ended up having to rely on a YouTube page when it finally published to be able to view the actual sessions. That's what inspired me to come on today, and more importantly, to host a panel for the sneak peek event that we had last week.
So how did that go, by the way?
Overall, I've been told that it went well. I think that the comments and the questions, and I had a lot of people reaching out, I think that they appreciated what I shared and just being able to give some tips and tricks to have a successful first-time eBay Open event.
We're just an audio podcast. We're not actually video. But I'm looking and I can tell exactly what it is you sell because you have rack upon rack of Nikes and other shoes behind you. So I'm going to assume that's your major business.
Yes, it is. So that is my major focus area, but growing into other areas also. But that is kind of my bread and butter. That's what I enjoy is fashion and apparel and specifically sneakers.
In your session, you also encourage others to check out other categories that they're interested in. So you focus in on sneakers, but with the replay option this year, what other category sessions will you be checking out personally?
I think I'll mostly be honestly relying on the replay a lot this year due to my personal work schedule. But I believe that for sure, I'll be looking to rewatch all the sessions that have to do with collectible card games. Since I'm not in that area right now, it is an area I'm looking to grow into. Currently, I'm not sure if you can see behind me, but I have thousands of just Pokemon cards from like that we're able to buy and hold and just never open them. And I'm hoping that I can actually, watch some sessions that will give me the information I need, but also just the knowledge that can help me kind of take my initial jump to learn how to integrate that into my platform here. And that's something I am looking forward to being able to replay. I'm going to watch it first, but more so replay continuously to make sure I'm taking the core points away from the discussions and to be able to use those.
Do you have any experience at all with Pokemon cards?
Just the childhood, like nostalgia, honestly. The most things I know are probably about the being graded process and then just learning there's a cost associated with shipping them in and making sure you have cards that are meet the threshold. Not enough that I feel like I can start selling it, but I do think I have enough to just the joy of it behind it. And I think that's why I'm looking to really leverage when I use the replay functionality.
And turning that joy into cash is a goal.
For sure. It is a goal. Let's not forget that is a core part, but having the joy for it first, that's where it starts.
What other goals do you have for eBay Open this year, 2023?
My biggest goal for this year at eBay Open, kind of as I mentioned in my panel, is networking with other sellers and honestly learning about the great things that other sellers are doing on the platform. And I think that takeaway is just from the sneak peek is that there's a lot to look forward to. And I just kind of want to just devil in it and be able to enjoy as much as I can.
Yeah. How do you go about deciding who it is that you want to pinpoint for possible networking?
There was a point that I believe Rebecca made in the initial event last week that talked about if you actually put an identifier like in your profile, say like things that you like or things that you're interested in. That's a good way. So for myself, I was going to put sneakers. I love shoes. I love fashion and apparel, but also I like Pokemon and maybe put a Pokemon joke in there, like who's my favorite Pokemon or gotta catch them all or just some reference that I think would be witty that someone, may like and chuckle and that can kind of start the conversation. And I kind of would hope to use that same type of effort if I see someone else and just, ask how they're doing. Is this their first event or just trying to find some way to initiate the conversation to be able to develop a genuine experience.
In the very old days of eBay, when we used to have our big events called eBay Live, there were lots of sellers who would walk around with they'd be holding a little sign like a poster, and it had what they sold, what they were looking for, and who they'd like to meet to talk about it. It was the analog version of what you're talking about with your profile, but that's important if you're going to attend eBay Open is to let folks know your interests and your goals right there in the profile because people will be checking them out.
No, they will be. And it sounds like when you did that, that was probably an awesome experience and technology has definitely changed that a bit. But I think that it's changed for the better, but I kind of hearing your story, I would love to probably be part of that as well.
Yeah. Who knows, it might come back. I know you said your goal was to network and meet at least, I think it's 1 or 2 people a day at eBay Open.
Yes.
Do you have any other tips for maybe newcomers to eBay Open are people who went last year and got overwhelmed. Something about virtual networking, but just in the event in general. 3 to 5 is a good number.
Let's try to meet in the middle. So I'll see if I can come with 4. I believe I shared 3 when I did my panel, but I'm going to give you a 4th one that probably is going to be the best one. I think the first one is, like I mentioned, tailoring their experience, being able to just try to attend and do the things that are pivotal to you. Find what interests the individual. So again, for me, liking Pokemon, I'm going to find something or sessions that kind of go with that, or just any type of area. Skillful networking will be that last one, or the 3rd one that I could recommend. And then the most important one is just have fun. Those are the 4 tips and tricks that I could share to anyone.
How do you recommend people have fun at the event?
What I saw is that they're doing a lot of, eBay is doing a lot for people to be able to kind of socially engage. I did see people were posting on Twitter and posting on different social platforms and actually tagging eBay Open. And so that's kind of a way that I think that can kind of show you're having fun, even though a lot of people we are is primarily virtual, but still show that we are still connected as a community within eBay. And I think that's a perfect way to be able to show it. At least I hope to do it that way. If you see my photo, just make sure that you like it for me, because I kind of appreciate that.
Of course. Likes are important in this new and modern world we live in.
They are, but it doesn't mean everything. But no, for sure, I definitely think likes are cool.
So let's go over those 4 tips again. Tailoring the experience, finding what interests you in the plethora of content that'll be provided, skillful networking to find those connections that are going to be fruitful, and of course, 4, have fun.
Have fun, indeed.
Well, Dexter, thank you so much. I hope you enjoy your week of eBay Open.
Well, thank you again, Griff. Thank you for having me on, and I hope so as well. Hopefully, I'll catch you there.
Hopefully, you'll catch me there. I'll be there virtually.
All right, I'll network you, Griff.
Dexter Bowling sells sneakers on eBay under the store name ShoeBiz. We'll put a link to his eBay store in the transcript for this episode 261.
You got questions?
We got answers. And Brian, our first question was emailed to podcast@ebay.com by seller Cassandra. Why don't you read it?
Sure. Hello. My name is Cassandra. My husband, Gary, and I have an eBay store, DNN Trikes Parts and More. Our eBay handle is guyoon-17. And we'll put that in the transcript.
As always,
we list used 3-wheeler and 4-wheeler parts. I'm in the process of setting up our store and have learned that eBay does not like duplicate listings. We don't. I was wondering if listings with different pictures of each item SKU are still considered duplicates. Most of the parts come off of different power sports, for example, airboxes. I have about 3 of the same kind of airbox, although each one has a different kind of wear and tear or some extra part I did not take off. When it comes to buying parts, as a customer, I want to see exactly what I'm getting. As a seller, I don't want to get in trouble with eBay for having too many of the same listings. Thank you so much for your podcast. I love listening to it while I work and have learned so much.
This is interesting because I don't think we've really talked about duplicate listings too much.
No, it's been a while.
There is a duplicate listing policy, Cassandra, and you can find it on the help pages, and you should read through it. I would recommend all sellers read through it. You just go to the help page on top of any eBay page, click it, and then search on duplicate listings, and the first result that shows up is going to be for the duplicate listing policy.
Yes, it's important to understand the policy. But Cassandra, from your question, it does not appear that these items are exactly identical. First, they are used, and each is in a different condition. This makes a difference.
Yeah, and some of them, as you say, have different parts attached to them that others don't. So they wouldn't really be considered identical. The only way they would be is if you couldn't tell the difference between one or the other. Usually with used items, that's not the case. Here's some tips to help you avoid the policy with these particular used, and according to you, not really identical items.
Now, the first is use different photos for each showing the exact item listed. Don't use the same photos for all the listings.
Yeah, some sellers do that. You should have different photos, and they should appear differently in each of the ones, maybe different angles as well. Another thing you should do is use a different title for each, and it doesn't have to be completely different, but you can put an identifying number. So if you're actually, and I wouldn't do the SKU of the part itself. You can put that in the item specifics, but in the title, I would say this is, you know, airbox number one or airbox number two for the next one, airbox number three. So that they're differentiated by title as well.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. The other thing is to use different text for each listing's condition box, taking pains to make sure the condition text for each is different and that each points out the specific condition issues for the item in the listing.
Yeah, that's important. And then finally, although not a requirement, you might want to indicate different prices for each of the listings based on the condition and the added and or missing parts, because that's another indication that the items are not duplicate if they have different prices. And I'm not saying if it's a buy it now, I wouldn't say buy a penny, but, you know, buy a dollar or two, just to make them even more differentiated so that there's no way that the system's going to think of these as duplicate. I don't think they will, but this is just one other thing you can do.
The only other thing that I would add is if she feels like they can be bundled together as almost identical, and it's really tricky with used parts.
It is.
Like anything used, it's always, to me, it's like it's a unique item. But I have seen some sellers over the years who where it's very similar parts. So I'll use golf clubs as an example. There was a used golf club seller, and what he did was he came up with a classification for how used it was. And I think he had a 5 different classifications. So if he was selling the golf club, any golf club that met classification 5, which was excellent or whatever, however he described it, he took any golf club like that and he bundled them together because if he got repeat sales, then it helped him with the repeat sales. He had a very systematic way to make sure those items fit the classifications that he created.
I can see where that would work with golf clubs, but again, the pictures are going to make a big difference because what the buyer ends up getting has to be what they're looking at. The condition differences between, say, you have 10 used golf clubs, all with that number 5 condition aspect, they have to really be almost
identical.
Yeah, they would. And then you could put them in a multi-quantity fixed price listing with a group of photos that show the item or items. If you're being meticulous about this, you can get away with just photographing one of them because the buyer wouldn't be able to tell the difference between the picture and what they end up getting. And I'm always surprised at sellers who think they're doing some sort of gaming the system by putting up duplicate listings and they don't realize they're actually hurting themselves. Because what happens is the system is smart enough to know that they will hide a bunch of them if you're doing too many duplicate listings, and you're not going to get the benefit of those impressions and sales that you get from one listing boosting up in search.
But the way that she described her items, I think it would be, I would not guide her to try and bundle them.
Unless, no, they sound too different.
Yeah, added parts, missing parts, things like all of those things make them unique.
Yeah. Cassandra, if you have any questions about this, you can always talk to us. So you can go on the community boards and ask a question too, because there's a lot of sellers who might have some extra advice that we didn't provide. But just between Brian and I and what we heard you telling us in your email, it sounds like these items are not really duplicates, so I don't think you have to worry. Our next question, Brian, was posted on our podcast Facebook group by seller Kimberly. And she writes, I sold an item and the buyer was bidding on 3 or more. I told the buyer I would gladly wait until the other auctions ended so I could combine shipping. However, I just received an auto email from eBay saying the first purchase was canceled due to non-payment. Is this always automatic or is there a setting I'm missing? I'm trying to offer it back to the buyer as a buy it now. How inconvenient. Okay, that's what she posted.
Well, Kimberly, your payment settings are most likely set up for the default 4 days and that amount of time passed, which resulted in a non-payment for that buyer. You can always change the setting in your selling preferences. To reach them, go to My eBay account, selling preferences, and then preferences for items awaiting payment.
If you go and check and you've never been there before, I think eBay sets that to a default of 4 days. And it sounds like the buyer, her buyer, won the item and then more than 4 days passed and they hadn't paid. So the payment was automatically canceled. The listing was canceled. And that's a setting that you can, I think you can increase it up to like 2 weeks.
Yeah. And there are some sellers who know that they've got on a regular basis buyers who will buy multiple items in a week. And so they adjust it appropriately. Most sellers like it at 4 days because if they've got an unpaid item, they want to be able to relist it as soon as possible.
Yeah, exactly. I'm hoping that over time, this legacy eBay behavior, and this is buying and selling behavior that only happens on eBay, and it's all because it was the way things ran 20 years ago. I'm hoping that this slowly starts to fall away as time moves on, because it's just not the natural way to do things when you're doing online commerce. And it's much better to get people to pay when they win or pay when they purchase. And any discount in shipping is built into the price itself, or it's something that even in as a last resort, you can issue as a refund after if you want to give them a discount. But I'm so against negotiating shipping. It's really inefficient. So I know it's a great way, you know, to make a customer feel better about the purchase. And some buyers who've been doing this for a while, they kind of expect it. You tell me anywhere else you can go online where you can negotiate shipping.
I don't know any off the top of my head.
I don't either.
Maybe we have a listener out there who does, but it's probably some edge case anyway. It's not standard commerce.
So one of the things I know that's going to happen as we're moving to eliminating unpaid item, I think that sellers need to understand we're removing that as a nuisance for sellers, but sellers are still going to be able to set it up so they can say, I don't want my buyers to have to provide an immediate payment for auction wins or for sending offers. And those settings are now in the buyer management page where you can check or uncheck the boxes. So that's kind of a future indication that we're not going to force this on anyone. So if you really like operating that way, we're not going to stop it. But for those sellers who do not want unpaid items, they can check the boxes that say buyers have to put a payment method on file before they can bid on my listing or use the best offer feature.
Yes. And with best offer, that was one of the improvements made this year was immediate payment for best offer.
I think I might use the auction format a lot more than I have in the past once I can guarantee payment, because I don't want to sit around having to then wait. The auction ends, there's a bidder, and they're not paying, and I got to send them notices. This is an inefficient way of doing commerce. If you bid on the auction and you win it, once the auction ends, the payment's taken out of your account. I like that. That's what I want.
And you can imagine higher-priced auction sellers really would want that.
Now, our last question, Brian, was actually posted on another Facebook group for which I'm a member. And though I would not usually use questions outside of our own group, I thought it might be a good one to answer it here. Since there were quite a few, I just want to be kind, less than accurate responses to the question, and I wanted to make sure we gave the right answer. These were well-meaning responses, but again, not absolutely accurate. So an eBay buyer came to this particular Facebook group and asked, I have a question. I ordered from a seller today and paid right then. I just got a message from eBay telling me that the order had been canceled and a refund had been issued. And in the email, it said the order was canceled due to the buyer's request. I did not ask for the order to be canceled. Will this go against me? That's what she wrote.
Well, Grip, doesn't eBay have a process that checks a seller's reason for canceling if the seller states buyer requested cancellation?
Yeah, in fact, we do. And there are two ways that a buyer can cancel an order. One is through order cancellation. There's an order cancellation link that's available for, I believe, about an hour after the time of purchase. And the other is through My Messages. Now, both can be verified by eBay to ensure that the buyer actually did initiate the cancellation.
So if a buyer didn't cancel or request a cancellation, but the seller claims the buyer did either cancel or request a purchase be canceled, it does not count against the buyer?
Oh, yeah, of course. It does not, but it could, and it probably will, count against the seller.
Yeah.
This is an eBay protection for buyers against sellers making false claims. And some sellers have done this. It's happened to me, where the seller has run out of stock, or maybe they decided to sell it somewhere else, and they cancel. And then I'll get an email, and it said, canceled by buyer request. And I'll talk about how you can report this, but normally eBay would figure this out. But as a buyer, you don't have to worry about your account.
So the buyer won't get dinged for this, but should she still contact eBay and let them know that she didn't request the cancellation?
Well, she could. There's nothing to lose, really. And as I've said, when this happened to me last year, I used a process where I was able to protest the cancellation reason. All you have to do is click the help link on the top of that eBay page and scroll down to the section that says, need help with your recent orders. And then what I did is I found that recent purchase that was canceled, and I clicked on it, and then I followed the instructions from there to report that I did not cancel this purchase. Now, did I get satisfaction from this? I don't know. I wanted the item and it got canceled and I didn't get the item and I wasn't going to get the item. But I want to make it clear because there was a lot of people saying that this buyer now, it's going to be a ding on their account. No, it's not. It is not a ding on a buyer's account. The only way that this would count against the buyer is if they actually went on record as canceling it themselves, not the seller, but the buyer's canceling a lot of listings. And then we may contact that buyer and say, hey, what's up? You seem to be canceling a lot of stuff. But even then, and when I've talked to support about this, that doesn't really happen that much. What they get is, you know, more unpaid items. People buy and never pay.
Right, from the buy side. But if a seller was canceling, like this seller did,
there are consequences.
There are consequences.
Exactly. So if a seller is using false reason for canceling the sale, which is, and a lot of times it's out of stock, and you get a ding if the item is out of stock and you cancel, what they're trying to do is avoid that by saying, well, the buyer requested it. And not only are you going to take that ding, but it's going to go on your record as a false report. And you get enough of those and you're going to, just let's say there's consequences. That's all. Just
yes. Yes. So if you want to learn about consequences, or if you want to join the fun here on eBay for Business, call us on 888-723-4630.
888-723-4630. And you can call that number any time of the day, any day of the week, and you can leave a question or a comment. And we love to get your calls because then we can hear the dulcet tones of your beautiful voice. And who knows, we can put it on the air as well.
And if you're not a call on the phone person, you can email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
And now it's your weekly 3-point podcast checklist.
Check the announcement board, especially this week at ebay.com/announcements for up-to-date seller news.
Okay, are we going to telegraph this? Let's just say that tomorrow is a big day and that if you want to stay updated about what's happening at eBay, then tomorrow morning, Wednesday, you're going to want to check your email and the announcement board so that you stay updated. Number two, don't panic if you're unable to attend every session of eBay Open this week. Remember that all sessions will be recorded for viewing post the event so you can view those that you weren't able to attend.
Need to review anything in this episode? It's easy. Check the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to find the links we reference during the episode.
And on our next episode, we'll welcome back our good friend, Andrea Stairs. She's coming back to the podcast to talk about both her new role at eBay, which is fascinating, and the new European Union regulations regarding online business sellers, which if you watch the news tomorrow in the announcement, you'll get an update about that particular topic. How interesting, Brian, huh?
It is.
Don't you just love when fall comes and you get updates in the fall?
Yes. Fall updates right along with the falling leaves.
Right.
We'd like to again thank our guest this week, Dexter Bowling of ShoeBiz on eBay.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.